All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered how to turn seller financing, credit card balance transfers, and unsecured lines of credit into a path to retire early, my guest tonight, Michael Cho, a guru in commercial real estate, he's got the answers. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you?
Hi, welcome.
So people don't necessarily start in commercial. Did you get your start immediately in commercial multifamily, or did you buy some like early stuff? Tell us about the beginning of the journey.
Well, beginning of the journey goes way back. It goes through exposure to the real estate market. I had the privilege of that my father actually pioneered this path before I did. So he provided a blueprint, in terms of how a person obviously can be successful. And, so through those years, those were long years of property management. I see, things that he was doing, like leases he was writing. I had to write the leases as well. And, what tenants were, going there, going into certain locations and things like that. And, but I never really got like my hands on to it until I got married, and I became extremely motivated, in terms of, my own career, due to, I have to provide for other people. I did get my real estate broker's license, actually rather quickly after I got married. I got my, I was a salesman, before that. I had my salesman license. And then I started aggressively investing in commercial real estate.
Right out the gate, no single families, none of that, just right into commercial.
Pretty much. Oh, I did one residential in West Philadelphia. It was a horrible experience. I sold that. People weren't paying rent. It was really, really bad. I didn't know the tenants that that were there. That I got other tenants. It just the numbers didn't work out. I just had to sell it. But I did another flip actually in Fishtown. I made good profit around 21 to 30,000 profit on that flip. Got some good experience working with contractors, things like that. I did a flip at Temple. Didn't really do any work. I just let it stay there, and then I made like 10,000 on that. But the main mission of what I was going to is commercial real estate investment, and investment in general. And that's where during the pandemic, it was 2020, I started buying property. So one of the key things that you need to do if you're going to invest in commercial real estate or investment in general, you need a full-time job. You need one full-time good paying job. The reason why is because commercial real estate investment is capital intensive. In order for you to get loans, I got 95% of my loans through the bank, was used to finance most of my commercial investments. If you have a good credit, and you have a stable full-time job that pays you every year. Mine was almost six digits. But if you have that stable job, and then you get a loan through the bank, and it's also helpful if you have a spouse that's working, And then providing more income that helps, get a larger loan at a lower interest, things like that. And then you could start like, cash out refi,
What was
they
the
call it
first
the,
project that you got into? How big was it?
so my first commercial real estate investment, that was, let me see, it was in Fish Street. It was Fish Street. It was a very cheap property. It was about 130,000. I turned that into a convenience store. That was cash. I got a good paying tenant that's now paying about $1,750 a month. So I had a base rent of 1,500 plus a landlord's insurance 100. Plus utility, water bill is about 50, and UNO tax, things like that. So he pays about $1,750 a month. But I bought it for 130, so that's pretty good. I mean, what you need to look out for is the 1% rule. So 1% of the purchase price should be about all the monthly rent that you should be getting. That is ideal. If it's close to that, that's extremely good. It's very hard to find, but there are deals out there. You have to look for them. And the more deals you do, the more understanding of how rents work.
So how many commercial units do you have these days? How many units in total?
So I have about almost right now, see about 17 commercial properties, going on to my yeah going on to my yeah 17 commercial properties right now, and we're so basically the way I was able to buy commercial properties, about 3 to 4 properties for the last 4 years, was through cash out refi. It's a loophole that if all the factors are relatively good and stable, you're able to do the cash out refi, and you could do it getting most of the money through the bank. So I that's called the BRRRR. It's another name is BRRRR method. It's a buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat.
So
So you buy,
you've been fixing them up as you go. What's the composition of the 17? Like 5 units here, 5 doors here, and 10 doors here, or what does it look like as far as are all 17 on the same property? Like when you say 17, do you mean 17 renting units, or what's the composition there?
No, 17 commercial properties. So
Okay.
basically, they're most of them, all pretty much all of them are mixed use properties. So I have like a number of them are 3-story buildings. So like two ones that are doing re that I recently bought that are doing extremely well. I bought one for 140, and then I got a daycare tenant, and I got 2 apartment tenants. It was totally vacant, but there was gentrification happening in that area, and then the there was it was a daycare center, but they left during the pandemic. All I had to do was call the broker and ask them if there was a tenant there, why did they leave? And I knew I could get another tenant there because I'm a broker. I know that area. I know that area as well, and I understand people want to do business in that area because of the gentrification and location. So that's what another thing is: get your real estate broker's license because it will help you tremendously in commercial real estate.
So what's the future plans now from where you are here? Looking into 2024, what are your plans for 2024?
Well, so I'm under a contract with a 3-story building. I'm going to use the first floor as my office. And then I want to rent out the second and third floor. Both are empty, but then they can be converted into two apartments for each floor. Each apartment I could rent for $800 a month, with like $35 water fee. And then I'm buying that building for $300,000. And I got an excellent seller financing through the owner. He's been there for a long time. I've known him for a long time, but I got 7.5% interest over 2 years. He's financing me 300,000, and that after 2 years, I don't have a balloon payment. It would be paid off. The building will be mine, but in the meantime, I'm leveraging the four apartment units, which is 3,200 a month, and then the first floor, which would have been 2,000 a month, but I'm using it as my office.
Yeah, and it still hits the 1% rule because you're getting like a little more than 1% of the
It's
300
a
every
lot.
month. So.
I mean, if it's 5,200 a month, it's like almost double the 1% rule.
Yeah, so if down the road when you move to a different office, that thing's going to make some serious capital. So, we were talking a little bit before the show about how you were able to put the 5% down, because a lot of times you need to bring some, money at the beginning of the deal. The bank will, kick in the rest usually because they like to own commercial spaces and multifamily buildings, especially mixed use. So. Tell people at home a little bit about your strategy for how you're able to get the funds together to get that initial 5% or 10% put down on a property.
Well, just to let you know, commercial loans, commercial building purchases, you usually need about 25 to 30% down. But every little thing helps. I was able to get about 30,000 through PNC credit card balance transfers. So it's completely legal. You can use the credit line of a promotional interest free for about 12 to 15 months. You apply for a $12,500 credit card, $7,500 credit card, another 7,500, 12,000, and then you could directly transfer that credit line into your bank account, actually. The financial representative told me about that. So I was able to get 30,000 from that. Other thing I told you, the one full-time job, you need that in commercial real estate, because you not only you need that income, if it's almost 100,000, but you need also that the loan from the bank, when interest rates fall in 2024, to get a lot of the money as well. Unsecured lines are very expensive. I use QuickBridge and Dynamic Loan. They charge very, a lot of interest, because they're giving you the money, about 30,000, 35,000 upfront. But you have to pay like every week, like 1703 or 300, 293 a day, every day, except for the weekends. So that adds up a lot. The key to it is leveraging your rents. So whatever your income from your full-time job, your income from the building that you're purchasing, ideally it's turnkey. You leverage the rents there. If it's not turnkey, you have to be confident you can find the tenants and then leverage the rents.
So, when we talk about real estate, Robert Kiyosaki has this line about the unfair advantage. He says, what comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do, Michael?
I would say, what's well, you have to try. You have to be motivated. You have to know like long term where you're going. Commercial real estate is a long term mission. But it's extremely profitable, and you're going to have not only are you going to be financially free within within 5, 10 years, you can help others to be financially free. So you need to know where you're going. And with that, if you know where you're going, you have to have a system in place. If you have a system in place, with the training experience, the knowledge, the broker license, the that with connections, that's where you can really leverage.
Interesting. So when you're looking at commercial deals, do you normally go and look for the deal and then go and see if you can finance it, or do you go to the bank and look at your financing and then go looking for deals?
So again, commercial real estate, the loans are more expensive than residential. You're looking at, instead of 20% down, you're looking at 25% down, even 30% down is normal. You have to be able to leverage the bank's money, and that is through cash out refi. In order for you to get a cash out refi, you need one full-time good paying job, and you need to get a low interest rate. Obviously, now you cannot get a low interest rate. Before the pandemic in 2019, we were talking about like 3.9% interest rates for commercial loans. Right now, it's 8.6%. No one is buying unless you have like cash. I don't know. You have cash somewhere. You make a lot of money, in a cash business or something, the best thing right now is seller financing. You have to have a relationship with the owner, and be able to leverage the rents from the property and then pay the owner back over a lot
Couple
of
of
times they
years.
want 10 years, they want their money back, but maybe it could be 13, 15, 20, 20 years that you can work with the owner with.
Yeah, because they just want to get out of the management of it. They still want the money. No one really wants to sell their cash flow, but if they can have a guy
No,
like me you move in and manage
especially
it with
people
the
who
seller
are
finance.
older or who are very old, they want to make a lot of money on interest. People who are older, my father does that all the time. He doesn't give me loans. He would give other people loans, but he would basically charge them like 10% interest over like 10 years, even like up to 13 years. But he makes a lot of money on the interest, and he's very old, and he wants that cash flow before for retirement.
And so when you go and say, hey, would you consider doing a seller financing? They're like, yeah, I mean, there's tax advantages too. They get to keep the asset and they too can pull lines of credit and stuff against the thing because they haven't sold it to you technically, but now you're managing it, you're stepping in, you're making sure that the rents are paid because you're going to use the rents to pay them. It's just now they don't have to manage it. So essentially they're like hiring a new manager and that's you with the intent to buy. So are you doing a lot of seller financing these days, or is that the first one when as it's emerging here?
That's the first one. Not with my father, but with another owner that I've been doing with seller financing. But I knew that owner for a long time. Yeah, I was just I just took the initiative to ask.
Yeah, I've got one of those that I'm looking at too, is just you do have to have that relationship and understand their motivation to be able to actually put them together, because it's not every seller even knows what that is. So sometimes you have to do some education. Now, did you have to educate this seller on the terms and conditions, or were they already kind of aware of how it worked?
yeah, I had to educate the seller about it. He didn't really know a lot about it. But it basically, I told him you could be making like $1,000 more a month on top of the loan that you give me. In my case, it's around 13,500 for 300,000 for 2 years. So 13,500 a month plus after I'm sorry, 12,500 a month plus $1,000 interest fee. So I told him, look, I'll give you 1,000 on top of the 12,500 for 2 years. And then, so you're making about like 30,000 in interest. So you wanted to walk away with the deal at 300,000. So you're going to be making more than that. And to make this deal even more better, as I negotiate with him, I'll pay for your transfer taxes, and closing costs. You could just walk out of the settlement with that, after the loan is paid off with that 300,000.
Awesome, awesome. So when when you were telling the story, how old were you when you did start joining your dad in your real estate?
So I had a lot of exposure through property management. My dad mainly does commercial real estate again. But
So when did you
it
start doing
was,
that?
that was after college.
Like in
I
your
did
early
work.
20s.
Yeah, I worked at a commercial real estate firm to get a lot of exposure.
As a salesperson.
As a salesperson, I did it for 1 year. And then I started working for the family business. And then, within the last 2 years, I started my own brokerage. I got married, within the last, five, got married within the last 6 years. And now, I am where I am today.
Awesome. So if people want to like reach out to you, connect with you, learn more about this commercial real estate and how you're, getting these rents and how things are working for you, what should they do? How do they connect with you?
Yeah, so my real estate website is newinvestmentrealty.com. You can find all the projects that I've done under commercial lease plus property management. And the property management that I'm currently managing, shopping centers, it's under property management. Feel free to give me a call. Feel free to send me an email. I'm more than happy to answer any of your questions. I just want to throw something out there. Commercial real estate, it's all about leveraging your rents. Okay. Make it as easy as possible for yourself. You need to find buildings that have tenants there. Even as a commercial real estate broker, I look for buildings with tenants there that are cash flowing very well. There are a lot of buildings that are vacant, and there's a reason why they're vacant. So, also another key tip, know the location. It's all in commercial real estate. It's all about location. The reason why people are doing businesses there, they want to sustain their businesses like forever. They built their businesses there, so it's about the location. And that if the location is good, the business will do well. They'll pay your rent, and you can also leverage, any apartments upstairs as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity, and mixed use is what the city really wants to see too. So more and more you're seeing that mixed use is the way to go, especially even if you're building new, because it's got like a more diverse tenant. You know, you might lose your commercial tenant downstairs, but the renters are still upstairs. So you might lose one renter, but you've got your commercial tenant downstairs and your other rents are still fine. So I like the idea of like the diversification within the same building. So yeah, I really appreciate your time, Mike, and I'm sure that anyone looking into get into commercial is really going to enjoy the episode. I really appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, and until next time, guys, we'll see you on the next episode.